You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hashtag no music, no intro. I mean, we're going to start spoiling our plans, man. We did the recap show, Monday Night Football, Jags, Saints. But you know what? I said, we have to get our dude, John Shipley, Sports Illustrated maven. Before he was a big beat reporter, he was just on Jags Twitter. Before then, he was on the draft countdown forums. Man, to see your career, man, it's special, man.
I appreciate it, bro. And you know, always hoping, you know, nowhere to go up, but up. You know, I love what I do, man. And you know, same Twitter. You know, ever since I've started. You know, getting into football Twitter, Saints Twitter, I've always said been one of my favorites, and you two guys are a big reason why, man. I love Saints fans.
Man, we appreciate you, man. I always say, like, Jags Twitter just cool, man. Like,
whoa, they are, bro. Dude. We talked about it on the recap show, bro.
But we gonna get there. But
I was on vacation.
let's talk about it from the jump, bro. Like, you know. I've always admired Jack's Twitter because I feel like Saints Twitter and Jack's Twitter are kind of like cousins, like just lovable losers. Like, I know the Saints got their Super Bowl, but Just in terms of just being bad teams at times, or just
I was going to say, Jack's fans are trying to lose like the Saints.
So I've always had, like, it's like we have that misery together. So whether it was Eric Stoner, Kevin from Duval, like whoever, right? You want to name, you know, in Jack's Twitter. And then, like, before the preseason game, like, people who I didn't know of Jack's Twitter, like, these aren't, like, the heavy hitters, like, would just comment after, like, Saints Twitter was some just, bro, like, I was aghast by some of the shit.
I knew Jags was going to get their stuff kicked in. The second I saw Jags fans talking wild about a preseason game, I'm like, y'all know you're just setting yourself up for, you know, jokes, right? Like, the fact that Trevor Lawrence walked away from that game, like, emphasis on walk with both legs, is a miracle. Because, I mean, they were asking for it.
They were. So, let's talk about the game. So, we wanted to get you on.
Yeah. Like,
obviously, we recapped the game on the pod already, but you cover the Jags, and we wanted to get your impression of just what you saw from the Saints, being kind of an outsider when you watched the game.
For sure.
So yeah, wherever you want to start, man. Like, what were just some of your things that just stood out to you about the Saints when you watched the game when they played the Jags?
Adam, you and I have talked about, you know, the Saints quarterback situation, you know, like, I feel like countless times over the last few years. I mean, you know where I stand. I've been on, you know, even on Team Jameis over Taysom, even if I think Jameis is a roll the dice of himself. But I felt like watching that game, the difference between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill was substantial. And that was even factoring in the fact that Taysom Hill was going against a second string Jaguars defense that doesn't exactly have, you know, a lot of, like, frankly, a lot of NFL caliber defenders on it. You know, I thought that Jameis was clearly, you know, the better quarterback. The offense just moved better with him. You know, it looked like they could do some of the stuff that they like to do with Breeze, you know, before his arm became, you know, like skyline chili noodle. Yeah, you know, like something like the deep play action passing, especially down the middle. And it just seemed like Jameis was fitting into what the Saints were liking to do on offense. And then when they brought Taysom in and, you know, he was basically asked to play a traditional quarterback role, you know, I know it's just the preseason and they would have a lot different things for him in the regular season. It just, he just looked awkward out there. So my perspective from the Saints really was that, maybe the two teams with the dumbest quarterback battles in the league, you know, played on Monday night, because I don't know where either one of them.
That's a perfect take. Perfect
team,
bro.
I don't know what either one of them are doing, man. And like I said, I know it's the preseason. Jameis Winston probably never goes 9 for 10 again, you know, to start of any game in his life. But I think just stuff like that, you know, that deep pass to Callaway. And then, I mean, as far as defensively, I know, you know, the Saints lost some pieces in the front seven. You know, one of those pieces, Malcolm Brown, has played really, really well for Jacksonville, as they've moved to a 3-4. But I mean, I thought the Saints defense was still, you know, they controlled the line of scrimmage, albeit against a line that was missing a few starters. And yeah, they're still really physical in the secondary. You know, I'm not going to pretend to know who some of the guys who deflected passes are, because I know like two of the Saints defensive backs, but I mean, they were getting their hands on a ton of footballs.
You mean to tell me you don't know who Kenny Crawley is?
Crawley Clamp?
Some respect on it, man. No, I'm just joking. No, he was literally jobless last year. So,
that's what the Jags do, man. You know, he goes from jobless to, you know, they play him in a preseason game. Jameis goes 9 for 10, and he looks like Revis Island.
Yeah, man. It was interesting. I try not to take too much from preseason. You know, just look at individual performances and stuff like that. And you know, I mean, look, the Jags look rough, but man, look, I could tell you. Like, when you rebuilding, I mean, you follow the Jags, so you know the rebuilding process pretty well. But, like, I remember the Saints in, like, 2006 when Sean Payton came in. Man, they looked horrible in the preseason. Like, horrible. I think I just watched one preseason game that year. And I was like, oh, man. Like, I was thinking, I got to find another team, man. I'm so sick of this. Because I was already kind of pissed at the Saints because they tried to move the team during Katrina and all that shit. So I was just trying to, like, you know, but, you know, they drafted Reggie Bush. They brought in Drew Brees. So I was trying to, you know, buy back in. I saw they, like, one preseason guy. Like, man, these dudes look terrible. They look horrible. But, you know, they wound up having, like, a 10-6 season. And, you know, things were looking brighter after that. So, and you know, you have Trevor Lawrence. It's like, you could always fall back on that. You know, I mean, my only question during the game, I was just like, get him out of there. I was like, there was that one highlight they kept showing where he took off and scrambled. And, like, I was like, ugh. Like,
you're surprised he didn't get towards ACL, man. Like, CD. Yeah, man. And that wasn't like a dirty play. Like, it was just all bad, man. It was scary. Man,
I know he got asked after the game about it. He was like, I only did it because it was on third down. I'm like, somebody tell this man, I don't care what down it is. It's a damn preseason.
Right. On one level, you kind of love it because it's like, okay.
No, 100%.
Like, you can tell he was trying to win. Like, he was not seeing a preseason game at all. He was like, I'm about to win this motherfucking game some kind of way.
And that's the thing that I think, at least from Jacksonville's perspective, they've taken the preseason serious as hell. That's why I think it's kind of got to be concerning that they've looked as disjointed and as bad as they looked. I mean, you know, their starting offense has scored a touchdown in two preseason games. I think they've scored 3 points. You know, that was that one field goal against the Saints. They had a chance for a second one, but that kicker went from one of the best in the league to bottom 10 overnight, seemingly. So it definitely, I get the impression, like you say, you know, it's a team that, they're trying a bunch of different things, a bunch of new, like, they basically hit the reset button. So I think probably the expectation should be for them to have looked rough. And I mean, you know, we see teams every year, you know, look great in preseason and then, you know, they suck in the regular season. I think the year the Browns went 0-16, I think they won every preseason game. And then we see teams, you know, like, look like shit in the preseason and then turn on regular season. I remember in 2017, the Jaguars, they look like a Division II football team in the preseason of 2017. I thought they were 1-15, 2-14 season coming up. They look terrible. Yeah, I mean, even the defense. I remember in the 2017 preseason, after two preseason games, I was like, yeah, why the hell did they sign Calais Campbell? He looks slow out there. And then, you know, for whatever reason, you know, things just changed week one. So I think it's definitely a reason for people to be concerned. But I also think, you know, at the end of the day, you're looking at 2 weeks in the preseason. You know, let the regular season take shape a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Something that stood out to me, and I don't have any horse in this race regarding Urban Meyer as a head coach. Something that stood out to me is the whole Marvin Jones thing was just so weird to me. Like he caught a pass. I think he converted a third down. He gets tackled, immediately starts grabbing like his shoulder, indicating that it hurt him, you know, like he was in pain. They take him out the game for a play or two, and then they put him back in the game, a preseason game, on a run play, and he has to go run block, and then he immediately has to come back. And I'm just like, and I would ask this of any football team doing this, was like, what are we doing? Like, that's a starter on your team. Like, if he's hurt, even minor, like a minor injury,
yeah.
Why is he going back in the game in the preseason? Like, it just took me aback by like that whole.
I mean, for all the things that Urban Meyer has to like adjust to as, you know, an NFL head coach, which is, you know, a laundry list of like that list goes mile upon mile upon miles. The preseason, like, I feel like is one of the more underrated like things to transition, because this dude has never done anything like it. I mean, just from my perspective, he literally seemed like somebody like kicked his dog and he literally put it into a car and ran off with it after a preseason loss. I've never seen, like, his energy just before that first preseason game was sky high, and two preseason losses later, now he's looking like the Papa John's like meme picture. And I really don't think he was prepared for a kind of environment like that, where you're trying to win and you're trying to look good, but you also need to pull back a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah, it's such a fine balance, man. Like,
it is.
Because, you know, you, even though preseasons don't count, like, especially if you're like a young, you're a head coach, never coached in the NFL, you just want to get a win just to kind of prove that, look, what we're doing is working. Like, all the practicing we're doing, all this, yeah, it's working. There's a reason we're doing this, and here's the fruit for all your labor. So it is really tough. So I kind of understand his position. Especially just coming from the college game, you know, you just have almost an unlimited resources of players to just keep tapping into, where, you know, in NFL, it's just like, man, these dudes getting paid. Yeah.
Dude, that's another thing, man. You know, they've had a 90 to 80 man roster this whole time. And in a few days, they're about to be down to 53 people. And, you know, Urban's going to be looking like Will Smith in that last episode of Fresh Prince. Like, you know, where the hell everybody go, man? like 90 to 80 man roster, those are what he's used to working with. But a 53 yeah. man roster, I generally feel like the 53 man roster and the like personnel GM type stuff are the two biggest things he has to adjust to. And I mean, so far through the preseason, it seems like that's been something, you know, he has struggled with. So I think there's definitely reason for people to be concerned. And the thing with Urban Meyer is he is never going to get, you know, like the benefit of the doubt or people asking to be patient with them, because, I mean, you know, for one reason or another, Urban Meyer is probably the most hated coach in football.
So yeah, polarized.
It's funny you say that, but because it's true. It is.
No, dude, he is a lightning rod. Like, I didn't truly notice it as much as it is until I started covering him. Every time I say he says something, I get replies being like, oh, damn, here come a heart attack and stuff.
Do you know why? Because I watch some college, but I don't follow, like, college super closely. And, I mean, I know Urban Meyer. I know he coached that, Florida.
Yeah.
He coached Ohio State, of course. You know, and, you know, I know he's won a lot. coached a lot of like NFL players, NFL quarterbacks, you know, Tebow, Cam Newton, you know, just he's been around a long time. He's in on TV. He knows a bunch of NFL coaches. Belichick, you know, is close with him. Sean Payton is close with him.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I know he, like, ducks out of jobs when things start getting hot. You know,
I think you hit on it.
That's it right there. Like, he just starts getting heart palpitations and getting a little stress here. I mean, is that it? Like, what is it about?
I think that's a huge factor.
I think so, because people – obviously, you know, you talk about reasons to dislike Urban Meyer. The Zach Smith thing to me is like the most like serious one. Like, if you tell me you dislike, you don't respect him because of that, I'm like, oh, I 1,000,000% get that. And even
what's the Zach Smith situation?
He basically knew of. I got to make sure I got my facts straight so I don't implicate myself on here. But basically, he knew of Zach Smith having domestic abuse. Against his wife, and kept him on staff for a little bit.
This was
Ohio State, right?
This was like the last year or so at Ohio State. So like that, I completely get. But I feel like people hated him even before then. And like you said, I feel like it's the, you know, the leaving jobs and stuff. And I feel like it's the, you know, for better or worse, he's had some longest yards ass type teams, dude. Like, he's had some teams where just go up and down the roster, man, it's literally the wild, wild west. And I feel like Aaron Hernandez, the Pouncey Twins. He just kind of epitomizes the win at all costs, no matter what thing. And I feel like that rubs some people the wrong way. But I'll truthfully be honest with you, though. Other than the Zach Smith thing, which is, you know, abhorrent, I've never understood it as much myself. But I have noticed it since he got hired, that damn, people hate that man.
Also, like, did he make like just the hire that the Jags had a couple of months ago of a coach that like
the racist coach?
Yeah, or whatever. And then they're like, oh shit, like we got to fire him.
They got subpoenaed in that court case that Iowa's having against them, so they literally have to be asked, yo, did you fire this racist coach for being so racist that you can't employ him? That is going on an official court transcript.
But, like, Urban Meyer signed off on that. You know what I'm saying? I don't have anything for or whatever, but, like, he brings some of this, like, upon himself.
He definitely does. And I think a big part of that was, and I think his biggest transition when he first got the job was you know, at Ohio State, he's, you know, the man on campus. You know, nobody at Ohio State is telling Urban Meyer what he can or can't do. But in the NFL, you're just another head coach, dog. Like, are not as important as you were at Ohio State in the NFL. You're just not, you know. Like, the players are more important, and how they feel is way more important at the NFL level than at the college level. You know, he probably could have hired Chris Doyle at Ohio State because, I mean, you don't have – you know, dudes making more money than you who really decide the success of the team willing to, you know, dip out.
No, it's crazy. It is funny when you think about it. Cause like when he used to come to the combine as like Ohio State's head coach or whatever, you know, it'd just be a circle of coaches around him. You know, let's talk to Urban Meyer. He was the man, you know, like.
And that's been a big thing I've noticed, man. His connections run deep. And that's one reason why I think people being so willing to kind of jump off like the thought that he could succeed is maybe a bit immature, because I think if he's actually willing to listen, you know, to those connections and to the people he knows, you know, the people like the Sean Paytons and the Belichicks and the Jimmy Johnsons, I think he is a good enough football coach to figure it out. It's just whether or not he gets out of his, you know, basically own way.
His own way. One of the big moves that the Jags made in the offseason, they signed cornerback Shaquille Griffin for the Seattle Seahawks. Well, he was a free agent. And I'll be honest, man, Ryan and I have been Marquez Callaway fans, even going back to last season in limited snaps and just watching him. And he's all reports he was just having an amazing training camp. What he did to Griffin on Monday night, we saw like a little bit of it when the Saints played against the Ravens, the first preseason game. He was going against Marcus Peters, who's going against Marlon Humphrey, making plays against them. But like Shaquille Griffin didn't have an answer for him. And it's like, and I don't know how much you went back in, like, you know, all 22 to watch the game, but like, What were your just impressions of that matchup from Monday when they played against each other?
Yeah, no, definitely. My two big impressions were that, first of all, I think Callaway could be like a legitimately special deep threat, man. Just the way he's able to stack cornerbacks at the line and kind of get that subtle little bit of separation, you know, down further down the field, you know, create a window for the quarterback. I thought, you know, even if Tyson Campbell didn't, you know, put on a blindfold while the ball was in the air and run right at the receiver, I feel like, you know, Shaq Griffin will still beat on that pass. And that's saying something because he's a legit like 4.3 something, you know, 40-yard guy.
Yeah.
And then on the second one, you know, it was honestly more or less the same. You know, he did a really great job of beating him on the release and creating some space. So I thought Callaway looked like a real deal. As for Griffin, I thought it kind of showed that in the Jags scheme, there's basically zero margin for error at the cornerback position because they blitz the house. They do a lot of cover zero stuff, and they play man coverage across the board. And they're telling their corners, you know, basically play in and play out, you have to win these one-on-ones. And
good luck, basically.
Exactly, dude. I feel like at the NFL level, cornerback position is the hardest position to play. And that's even factoring in quarterback and offensive tackle. I don't see how cornerbacks do it, man, because that margin of error is so small. And then when you put a guy on an island consistently, it just becomes even smaller. So I think obviously, you know, concerning, but I think it kind of just showed off in that scheme that if you're not right on the money, you're kind of SOL.
And Ryan and I, it's funny you say that because Ryan and I have consistently said on this show that playing cornerback in the NFL is the hardest position to play in all sports. Like I will die on that hill. It is so insanely difficult.
To learn, you know, like to learn, no, it's probably not that hard, but like to actually apply what you learn and do it.
And
like,
be elite at it.
It's 65 snaps a game, and like you get laughed at and pointed at if you just mess up like two plays.
Man, I can't imagine being a cornerback and being like picked on, like play in and play out, like over and over. I'd be ready to throw my helmet off and
grab Vontae Davis once
a few years. Yeah, Vernon Davis, man, call that out there in the game, man. I'm out.
What to do? I've seen enough. I'm done.
I have a quick one, and I'll let Ryan go. We're on the cornerback position. I feel like Saints Twitter would like, well, I don't know, throw stones at Ryan and I if we didn't ask you this. So I was in Texas and minding my business, and boom, alert from Jeremy Fowler. Oh, guy, C.J. Henderson, he drafted 9th overall last year, making inquiries. And then, you know, obviously the Saints have needed cornerback too. They've been trying to swipe right on J.C. Horn in the top 10. Anyone and everyone to fill this number cornerback two position, which – now I don't know if they're as concerned about it as they were, but then Jeff Duncan was like, "Oh, and the Saints reached out to the Jags." So I'm asking the guy who covers the Jags, what do you know? Or the Jags, would they be willing to part with C.J. Henderson? Like, is there anything that let's clear it out on the pod so the listeners know and the Saints fans and Jag fans know what the deal is?
All right, well, to talk about the C.J. Henderson subject, it requires, you know, a lot of sensitivity. I just, you know, out of complete respect for all involved, I'm not going to go into, you know, full details and everything, but I can say this isn't a situation where a guy is unhappy with where he's playing and he just wants a way out, you know. And this isn't a situation where a team is unhappy with the player either and wants to ship him off. You know, this isn't a Jalen Ramsey or a Yannick Ngakoue. You know, it's never been either one of those, and it's really been far from them, you know, really from the jump. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm firmly of the belief, and I've, you know, every conversation I've had with people inside the building and everything we've seen transpire over the last 3 weeks, there's nothing that makes me think C.J. Henderson is actively being shot by the Jaguars. I mean, especially after you see, you know, Tyson Campbell and Shaquille Griffin, you know, struggling like they did on Monday night. I don't think if you're the Jaguars, you can afford to shop a guy like C.J. Henderson. I agree with you. I think he's their best cornerback. And it's wild because he missed literally like the entire first half of training camp and practiced like twice before that first preseason game. and then plays against the Browns and completely shuts down Donovan Peoples-Jones, who, yeah, I know he's not Odell or anything like that, but, you know, he's a good receiver, man. He's a good receiver.
For sure.
And so I think to be able to do that with pretty much zero practice kind of shows the kind of talent he is. And he's already been worked into the Jaguars starting lineup, which says a lot because they've harped so much on, okay, we're only putting guys in that we've seen them accomplish things in practice. So for him to like, he wasn't given a spot in the like first team defense the first day he got back to practice. You know, it took him a little bit to get there, but once he got it, he hasn't given it up. And I really don't think that they're interested in trading him just because they need him as that badly. And it's not a situation where there's actual any animosity, you know. Like I said, it's not like an Ngakoue situation where the player and the team just legit hate each other and it's a nasty divorce. I think there were some, you know, maybe there were some personal issues and there were things that were keeping Henderson, you know, off from the field consistently, but nothing to the point where I believe the Jaguars were probably thinking, okay, you know, we have to Joe Schobert this guy and trade him for anything we can get for him. Yeah. You know, I think they're probably, you know, keeping their options open because I just kind of feel like in the NFL, outside of Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Aaron Donald, I don't know if there's any player in the NFL who's untouchable for a trade. So right. I'm sure they probably got phone calls on him and probably even made phone calls about him. But I would be surprised if he's traded. But with that said, if he was, I think the Saints should be all about that. And I say that as somebody who didn't really like Henderson as a prospect. You know, I had...
Oh, man. All three of us, bro. All three of us were not fans of him in Florida, man.
Bro, I thought Jeff Okuda was significantly better. And then I see videos of... Y'all see Okuda get juked out from 10 yards away by, like, a Steeler.
Do you remember, like, you know, is it the Bob McGinn things that come out, like, around the draft? Year, like, scouts were saying that C.J. Henderson is like a better player than Jeff Okuda. And I remember all three of us were just aghast.
I was like, lying season is just lying season.
I remember like a week before the draft, somebody said like Henderson was a target for teams in the top 10. And it was completely like, you know, shit upon, especially by me. And then, you know, the team I covered in that team. But after like watching him as a rookie and watching him through preseason and training camp, I do think he's that actually talented. His thing is just staying on the field, man. Staying on the field.
I remember it was week one. The only game the Jags won week one last season, he pretty much shut down T.Y. Hilton. And I was like,
It's funny. His only two games of his rookie year that I think you probably say are good games were his first and his last game. And it was against T.Y. and Devontae Adams. So, I mean, the dude has talent. It just, you know, it's just about consistency and stuff. So, I don't think he's being shocked. But if he was, I think the Saints are one of those teams that should be calling nonstop because I think him and Lattimore would be a deadly combo.
Oh. So, following up with that, this is what I think would make the trade so fascinating and also difficult to figure out is because you have a player that was drafted 9th overall in the draft the season before. Played some games last season. In those games, he looked really good. He's looked good in preseason. What is his value? Like, that's to me, that's the fascinating piece of it, is what is C.J. Henderson's value?
What did the Steelers give up for Minka Fitzpatrick?
It was the first.
Yeah, it was the first.
But, like, Minka, like, had... Like, I think the situation's even a little different because...
Yeah, it is.
You know, I just don't know how you would evaluate what his value is. Like, what is that sunken cost? We, the Jags, invested a 9th overall in him. Right. What would they expect to get back? You know what I'm saying?
From their perspective, they gotta start, and we're talking to one, at the very least, and more for them. You know what I'm saying? Because it just makes no sense just to dump a guy on a rookie contract.
Yes.
You already like guaranteed like a bunch of money. It's like, okay, let's just see this out, you know, unless we're going to get like a boatload back. Just only makes sense to just see this out and see how it works.
And that's what I feel like their kind of position is. Like, there's no reason they should be in any rush to kind of, you know, get rid of him. You know what I mean? Like, even in the case where maybe he's not on the field, they've at least made other investments at the cornerback position to where they don't have all their eggs in the C.J. Henderson basket.
And I mean, from what you know, he hasn't been like a locker room issue causing.
No, not at all. No, not at all. No, I mean he's well liked the inside the building.
Ryan, do you have anything else for John?
No, that's it.
The one I have one more. It's not really probably not an option anymore, but I think things between the Saints and Michael Thomas have gotten better. But the one team that I kept coming back to, if there was ever a Michael Thomas trade, was the Jags. You have Urban Meyer, who Michael Thomas adores.
They're both crazy.
Yes, absolutely.
You tell me they love each other. I get it completely, man.
Yeah, they do. He adores Urban Meyer. Like, that's his ride or die. And I don't even know what, again, there's reports out, like, you know, Michael Thomas and Sean Payton, kumbayaing and everything is going copacetic and he's going to get healthy and we'll see things out. But when the shit was coming out, like the drama, which me and Ryan have been all over since last season, the team that just made the most sense to me was Jacksonville. And I think that kind of comes back to the same thing too, is, you know, let's say things don't work out between the Saints and Michael Thomas and they do ship him out. I don't even know, assuming that he's healthy, right? Because obviously he's injured right now.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing of like, what is the value for Jacksonville and New Orleans to, if this ever were to happen, what that value would be. It would just be interesting to see what that would be.
No, and I think so too. And I think just the fact that the Jags have Meyer, they'd probably be one of those few teams that would be like, okay, screw whatever the value is. We feel so strongly about, you know, that kind of player. My only thing is the actual fit, because outside of DJ Chark, the Jaguars, I mean, they're slow at receiver. I mean, you guys saw it on Monday. Chark wasn't on the field. They were slow as hell on offense. And for as good as Thomas is, I'm not sure how, like, I feel like he's probably a better version and a more expensive version than Marvin Jones. But is that really, you know, the prop? Like, is that what's going to unlock the Jaguars' offense? You know what I mean?
No, good point. Yeah, fair point. I can see them having a standpoint of, you know, this guy has shown to be, you know, before the injury thing last year, consistently like a top five wide receiver
and back for sure.
In the league. And we have a young quarterback. Let's make life easy for him.
Let's go get him like a Larry Fitzgerald type.
I think it's a move Urban would make. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, without question.
I don't think it's always something that, you know, anybody would be like, oh, that's, you know, just doesn't seem like. Like, no, that seems 1,000,000% because he has emphasized relationships a ton with the players that they brought in. You know, whether it's him or his assistants or even people he's coached before who know these guys. So, I mean, I can't – like, if Michael Thomas was a free agent, you know, tomorrow, I guarantee Urban would be willing to drop, like, you know, $80 million or whatever.
The bank. Yeah.
That's
interesting. It's something to stick a pin in. I don't think nothing's happening this year, but I would stick a pin in it because I don't think everything's resolved yet.
Bookmark it. Just bookmark it. We'll see if those you know, conjoint counseling sessions between Sean Payton and Mike Thomas are going to work. But if they don't, we might have to have you back on and talk about if the Saints and Jags make a trade. I mean, they traded Malcolm Brown to the Jags recently, so obviously they have a relationship, you know, in terms of the team. So we just wanted to get you on. Thank you for so much for coming on, John.
Appreciate you
not big timing us. I remember 2 years ago when the Saints played the Jags, there was like, you did like a pod and you didn't ask us to come on, but it's okay. I'm not going to hold that against you.
Hey, personal growth.
But again, man, I appreciate you,
man.
So if you want to follow John on Twitter, it's _John_Shipley, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So follow John on Twitter. Even if you're not a Jags fan, John's work is amazing. I mean, I've known John for a long time, and continue your career growth, man. We want to continue to see you succeed and reach heights, man. Keep it up. Keep grinding.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. Thank you guys for having me on. I mean, it says something, you know, somebody in Jacksonville that I regularly listen to a Saints podcast. So I appreciate y'all.
No, man, we appreciate you too, man. So with that, we're going to get out of here. We're going to have this up. Fantasy Football League is completely set. It's full. Draft is tomorrow, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Ryan, please be on time.
Oh, shit.
Please be on time. With that, we're out.
Peace.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.